now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slam of pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really couldn't devour him. And from that point then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam show. Let's go!
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam show.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam show.
Turn it up.
Absolutely, I am back. I am Chris Featherstone. Pleasure to be back this week on assignment last week. Got some great news coming up here soon. Just want to welcome everyone back to Pancakes and Power Slams this week. Thank you so much for listening every week. Derek did a fantastic job last week. Our wall correspondent / Pancakes and Power Slams substitute host, and he did a great job. I looked at the numbers as far as the people who listened, and it was you all showed Derek some great support. So keep those numbers up. Let's continue. Real quick, speaking of high numbers for the show, advertising opportunities, cravewrestling@gmail.com. We would love to showcase your product. We have an insane amount of media outlets that we can tap into. Like I said before, I'm a writer for the Bleacher Report. I'm a featured columnist. I get thousands of reads per day. I'm over 2 million reads right now, pushing the 2.5 million mark in total reads. So as a featured columnist, I'm blessed to have the opportunity to reach out to many people with my product, with my work, and I'm very, very happy and blessed that I have that opportunity. Also, I write for WrestlingInc.com. I write many articles there, reach many, many people. WrestlingInc.com is the largest independent wrestling site in the world. So that's a huge, huge accomplishment for WrestlingInc.com. Definitely have to give major kudos to the staff and the owner of WrestlingInc.com for giving me an opportunity to be on their staff and write for them. It's such a pleasure to write wrestling work. And Bleacher Report, I don't write only wrestling stuff. I've written stuff from other sports. I just love sports. So great opportunities to and of course we have the Pancakes and Power Slam show every Tuesday on Blog Talk Radio. So many, many outlets to many, many exposures, many, many people to know what your product is. So be sure to give us an email at cravewrestling@gmail.com, and we'll be more than happy to talk to you and work with you and get some exposure to your product. Of course, there's some boundaries and guidelines that we're going to have, but if you're an independent wrestling company, if you're a fledgling company that has a little bit of exposure, a few years, or if you know, if you are a very, very well off established company that would like to tap into other markets, I mean, here is your opportunity. cravewrestling@gmail.com. We will definitely work with you. So to go forward into the show, and also real quick, cravewrestling@gmail.com. Follow at Crave Wrestling on Facebook. Follow at Crave Wrestling on Twitter. Check me out, Chris Featherstone on Bleacher Report. Bleacher Report is one of the top largest, top three, top four largest media outlets, sports media outlets in the entire nation. So, I mean, just millions upon millions of people view Blitz Report daily. So, yeah, just an amazing sports media site. Just insanely popular now. So many people know that most people I know are sports fans, and they are fully aware of Bleacher Report. And so, like I said, a lot of opportunity. Twitter at Crave Wrestling, Facebook Crave Wrestling, lots of fun trivia, and I post my latest Bleacher Report articles there as well. Open forum for you to talk about some things. I've had messages. I've had people just put things on the wall about how they feel. So just many different exposure outlets for us wrestling fans, the wrestling community, who so passionately love this sports entertainment activity, sports entertainment outlet, sports entertainment conglomerate, entity, whatever word you want to put in there. We enjoy the product, and so we rightfully have an outlet. We have a community to discuss whether we agree or disagree with certain things. We have that opportunity to discuss it in the form of media forums and communities, and that's why I'm so privileged and so honored to work for both Bleacher Report and Wrestling.com. Which brings us to Plant Cakes and Power Slams. 347-884-8452 is the number to call tonight on this show. We're going to talk about some things. The Wyatt family debuted on Raw, so we'll get to there. And we report on Wrestling.com, which also posted on Bleacher Report, about a possible participant in the Money in the Bank ladder match that is not looking good to participate in the match on Sunday. So we'll get to that. And, of course, we got our big, big, big announcement coming up very, very shortly. Had an opportunity to have some negotiations, and it went very, very well. And we'll have someone on. I'm not going to spill all of it. So just hang tight, and we'll get there. First Pancakes and Power Slam trivia question of the night is, who won the first King of the Ring pay-per-view? Not too bad. Not too difficult for all my diehard fans out there. Who won the first King of the Ring pay-per-view televised? The first televised King of the Ring match, the King of the Ring tournament that was televised. So, chat room already has it. I figured that was going to be a easy one, nice icebreaker for you. Bret Hart is indeed the correct answer. We'll get to another one here later. All right, let's get to Raw. Vicky Guerrero in-ring promo on Top of the Ladder. She scheduled matches with Money in the Bank All-Star participants. Daniel Bryan defeats Sheamus. That is a rarity, as we reported on WrestlingIt.com, that Sheamus reached as the first WWE wrestler of the year to reach the 100 win mark. So that makes his total this year at 100 wins and only 23 losses. That's a pretty good percentage of a win-loss record there. And he's not even champion. He hasn't been champion since, I believe it was Night of Champions when he lost to the Big Show. Might have been. We'll get to that. Anybody in the chat room or tweet at Crave Wrestling if you have any inquiries, if you have any feelings about Raw or SmackDown or Ring of Honor. We'll get to Ring of Honor today, time permitting, but we're also going to talk about the Flavor of the Week. Flavor of the Week is the best and worst King of the Ring winner. I think I'll say an honorable mention as well, but the best and the worst King of the Ring winner. There's been 11 so far, and so we'll talk about at least two of them most likely four. Best and the worst King of the Ring winners. And then Daniel Bryan, I'm happy that Daniel Bryan defeated Sheamus. Sheamus doesn't lose much, and Daniel Bryan, and I've said this before, just people who don't lose much can put people over better. So it would just make sense if that happened. So the very fact that that he beats Daniel Bryan, that he lost to Daniel Bryan, or Daniel Bryan beat him, just gives Daniel Bryan even more and more steam leading toward the Money in the Bank pay-per-view this coming Sunday. So the Sheamus lost to the Big Show at Hell in a Cell. He had a 7-month reign, and he lost to Big Show at Hell in a Cell. So, I apologize if I misspoke. The King, best and worst Money in the Bank winners. We'll talk about today the best and worst Money in the Bank winners. So we're going to have some fun with that. There's been 11 so far. I just had a King of the Ring question, so my mind was still King of the Ring. Money in the Bank winners, best and worst. We'll talk about two at least, but probably four. The Shield defeats Tons of Funk. Just a normal tag team match, which I'm totally fine with. The tag team matches doesn't have to be so catastrophic or monumental. Just a normal tag team match. It wasn't bad at all. Some nice chemistry by both teams, and I'm glad that they just gave the tag team an opportunity to be showcased. And the Shield didn't have to do with nothing totally just off the wall. They did manage to defeat Tons of Funk in a very, 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 very good match. I definitely think that we need to see more of that. The only caveat about that is that I'm fine with showcasing a match, but I just wonder, just the stock of the Shield. Just the match itself was good, but it wasn't. There was just some moments that was just kind of dull. So I just wonder if that was the crowd, or I wonder if that was the Shield. Because Tons of Funk, they're not just grossly over. Never was. Shield was. But I will give it to this. I mean, this is why I like Tons of Funk. You had Brodus Clay that had these vignettes and supposed to have this monster push. Didn't really work out for him. Tensai, even worse. He came in and just beat John Cena, beat CM Punk, had some type of weird claw, just all types of Japanese moves. It just didn't make any sense. And of course, he had Albert Chance, which we'll talk about the Wyatt family here soon. That was a potential ruiner, if I could say that about what happened with their debut. But just a bunch of Albert Chance, and I just knew from the very beginning that it just wasn't going to fly. Making him face, and now I like it. I like the fact that he's with Tons of Funk. I like the team, and I think that it actually is a far better position for both of them, because Brodus Clay, he had like a big push as a face when he came, but he started to get redundant. And so Tons of Funk is a good place for both people who were supposed to be really over, who didn't really pan out, to team up, and they don't lose. They're not jobbers. You know, they win a lot of matches. They lose matches as well. So, you know, pretty balanced out win-loss record. So it's they didn't just get thrown away. And I think Tensai is favoring, is getting more benefit from this than anyone. Simply because at least Brodus Clay won matches, a lot of matches in the beginning, but Tensai only won a few, and then he just was forgotten. And if you subscribe to Pancakes and Power Slams on iTunes, you are able to listen to all of the past episodes, any one that you want. This is episode number 67, so a ton of episodes. And we just keep growing and growing. And you get to listen to around this time last year when Tensai debuted. Last year, a little bit earlier, but last year, it just didn't work out for me whatsoever. And from the very beginning, I just wasn't buying Tensai. And I even wrote articles about it on Bleacher Report. And many people was saying, you know, be patient. But, you know, either... It's one of those things that when you have all these vignettes and you come in, there's a ton of expectation that you basically get thrown into the fire. It's just, I mean, you know, it's another one of those things that it's so intense. It's one of them Daniel moments, if I can be scriptural here, just thrown into the lion's den. And you just have to either sink or swim, so to speak, you know, or when it comes to fire, either turn to gold or turn to dust. And, you know, it's a refining stage or a ruining stage. And I think that with Tensai, not so much. And it just didn't really work for him. But being with Tons of Funk, it's helping him. This is the best. We even in the chat room was mentioned as the best that he's ever looked, and I agree. I totally agree with that. I think that he looked better in Japan, but as far as his WWE is concerned, this is the best Tensai ever looked. He was riling up the crowd yesterday, and he was getting some pops. He's just really intense, just real high octane. I like it. I like it. I like Tons of Funk, and I hope that they continue to have them be a staple in the tag team division. Just don't tear it up. Just don't have someone turn heel. That's the problem with WWE. They just don't last. They don't have a lot of faith in tag teams, and they are quick to break them up. Let them season them. Continue to season the teams, and let them just continue to blossom and be a staple tag team. Not everybody has to be a big main event star. I mean, tag teams are built for tag teams. The Legion of Doom is a tag team. The Steiners was a tag team for most of their career, but Scott Steiner kind of got the nod to be a main event star. But for the most part, Steiner Brothers was a tag team. But the Legion of Doom is a perfect example. Tag team stars. They're a tag team through and through, in and out. You can say that for a lot of legendary tag teams in the WWE, the WCW, and the WWA, and then the NWA. Just continue to season the team, you know, and let them continue to grow, and don't give up on them. So next we have these John Cena and Mark Henry in-ring promos, very, very funny there. Just loving everything about Mark Henry as far as the way that they're building him as a monster heel. The only problem is, we'll get to that as far as the Money in the Bank predictions. I'll save that for later. But as far as this is concerned, he had some an advantage after some verbal exchanges. John Cena tries to give Mark Henry an AA, but couldn't carry the weight, falls down, and then just Mark Henry scooped him up and executes a World Strongest Slam. So gets an advantage leading into Money in the Bank, and we'll see where that goes. Curtis Axel experiences his first loss as a Heyman guy against none other than Chris Jericho out of anyone. But this is just a trade of wins because Axel beat Jericho on SmackDown. And speaking of SmackDown, real quick, Derek is fantastic. I'm so happy that he's a Raw correspondent. You know, just with his indie background, a very seasoned, very established, very knowledged, not only a wrestling fan, but a former wrestler himself. So he knows what he's talking about, and I'm very happy that he's on the team. But we have a difference in opinion on SmackDown. He's not the biggest fan of SmackDown. For a long time, I wasn't as well, especially with the 3-hour implementation and the Raw episodes. But I like SmackDown. I think SmackDown is starting to get its own identity. I think the Shield helped out with that a lot because they started to do a lot of their work on SmackDown. So I'm liking that. So as far as SmackDown is concerned, I think that they're slowly but surely starting to become their own identity again, because they were the best competitive show for quite some time, around 2002, 2003, around there, I think around probably 2008, 2009, somewhere around there too. They kind of became more of the athletic show, while WWE was more of the showcase entertainment show. But I think now they are starting to get their own identity back. So I'm actually a fan of SmackDown. And plus, to give myself a plug, I write SmackDown reviews every week on WrestlingInc.com, so check it out. This week's was pretty controversial. Some people had some differing opinions of what I had to say about the Divas division, which was misconstrued. And it's funny about the what people, term the IWC, or Internet Wrestling Community, just how passionate they get for a differing opinion. And I'm like, just relax. Just because I don't think the same as you do doesn't mean that we're both just ridiculously wrong. So, and plus I have the mic, so to speak, and I'm the one that's writing on a website that you look at, which I'm very grateful for, but kind of bring it down. I was looking at the comments, and I had some people that were standing up for me and defending me. But they have their right to disagree and do what they can. I just let's keep it respectful. We're going to get to Derek, our world correspondent, here in a moment. Before then, let's talk about more Jericho and Axel real quick. Like I said, they trade wins now. They want to build up Jericho. In my opinion, they want to build him up for Sunday. Again, we'll get to the predictions on Sunday. I think that this match meant more than what met the eye on Raw. I think that this is kind of propelling towards what we're going to see at Money in the Bank. So, but good job that Jericho got the win on a hot, a red hot momentum, as far as his momentum is concerned, red hot Curtis Axel. Brother Rio versus Sin Cara went to a no contest. It was really weird. Dolph Ziggler starts talking while the commentators were talking and the match was still going on. It was just really weird. This is very poorly written. That was one of two matches that didn't have a finish to it. Because the promo and the aisle way during the match, and then it was just really ridiculous. I didn't really understand it at all. Vicky Guerrero's performance review is her job evaluation. Vince McMahon had things to say, and Triple H had things to say, and they left it to Stephanie, and then the Stephanie left it to the WWE Universe. It was voted 25-75 in favor of failed job review or job evaluation. And that led her to get fired. And so Mr. Mann cuts a huge heel promo in favor of Vicky Guerrero, back to the old Vince McMahon, drew a lot of heat. And then he appointed Brad Maddox as the new general manager, not managing supervisor. Interestingly enough, that Vicky Guerrero was being evaluated for the general manager spot because she wasn't officially general manager yet. And instead of Brad Maddox going from assistant to the general manager, assistant to the managing supervisor to the managing supervisor, he skipped a couple and went straight to the general manager. So he had a huge promotion. I'm in favor of it, actually. I like Brad Maddox. He's very interesting on the mic. He knows how to draw some heel heat, very cocky. I think he'll be a good general manager. So I like it. I'm interested to see how far it goes. I'm interested to see where it leads us. But I'm actually in favor of Brad Maddox being the general manager of Raw, so we'll see where it goes. 347-884-8452. Next question. What pay-per-view did Owen Hart break Stone Cold Steve Austin's neck? What pay-per-view did Owen Hart break Stone Cold Steve Austin's neck? What pay-per-view and year? Pay-per-view and year. I'm in favor of Brad Maddox. Kane defeats Christian. Interesting little promo here. Little segment here. Kane defeats Christian, Money in the Bank. And then we get a really nice, very crisp, very nice Bray Wyatt promo. Wyatt, man. He's just very, very good on the mic. Very impressed with him. When he was with the Nexus, as Husky Harris, he just didn't have an opportunity to cut promos like that. But NXT and his promos leading to the Wyatt Family debut, very, very good. Just his pitch, his dynamic, just really, really good. Very impressed with them. So the promo comes, leads to we're here, blows out the lantern, comes in the dark, led by a lantern, walks down to the ring. Real quick, before I have to acknowledge this. Why in the world did Christian, they made a boo-boo. When Christian came out, he had his LED wall said Michael McGillicuddy. I have no idea why that happened. I know that there's some glitches and things happen, but it wasn't even a former star. I mean, it wasn't even a current star. It was a former star, Michael McGillicuddy. And it was interesting. One of my colleagues looked at his Wikipedia page, and it said Michael McGillicuddy under Christian's title. Under the Christian title, there's a subtitle of a picture, and it said Michael McGillicuddy on there. And that was very, very odd that both, Wikipedia is not, it's not 100% credible. That's why a lot of term papers, I'm going for my second master's degree and my doctorate soon, and, Wikipedia, even in any type of college reference, reference papers, any type of term papers, any type of reports or anything, Wikipedia is never a preferred source, although it has a very it's a quick way to get some pertinent information. So I'm in favor of Wikipedia. That's as far as I'm going to go because I'm not going to – they haven't paid me to advertise them. So they haven't paid Crave Wrestling to advertise them. So that's as far as I'll go with them. But yeah, just Michael McGillicuddy was very, very odd, very weird. But just a little glitch right there that's just kind of startled me for a second because I thought I saw it on the LED wall. Then I rewound it, and it was confirmed. The LED wall said Michael McGillicuddy, so it's very interesting. But back to the Wyatt family, lights go off, come back on. Kane is in the ring. They get attacked. He gets attacked by Luke Harper and Eric Rowan, which leads to some type of gang attack, to taking him out to the steps, ramming him, you know, just ramming him on the steps, and then putting his head on one end of the steps and ramming the other end. Just a weird. And then it led to Bray Wyatt standing up, going to there and doing some type of on his knees crucifix type of pose. That part was just kind of mad to me. Just really bland. It just didn't really excite me much. I think the dark, that music for them is phenomenal, by the way. The whole prelude to the attack was very good, but I don't think the payoff was sufficient whatsoever. So, and then the Husky Harris chants by the audience really didn't do anything to help the momentum or help the debut of the Wyatt family. So we'll see. I don't see Eric Rowan and Luke Harper being much of anything. I think Bray Wyatt has a ton of potential, but Harper and Rowan. I followed Harper when he was Brody Lee in the Indies. He's done some work and some independent promotions, Ring of Honor as well. I'm not too big on just them as being some type of huge, tag team to be reckoned with further in the future. You know, so. I think for now, we'll be okay with them and with the Wyatt family. I think that for the short term, they'll do very well. But I'm not totally discrediting them for the more distant future. But I'm not so sure. And then, of course, we reported on wrestling.com through WWE.com and also posted on Bleacher Report that WWE is reporting that Kane had to receive some medical attention, some severe medical attention, had a doctor check it out and had some spine issues, cervical spine issues. They had to put a brace on his neck. So reportedly kayfabe. We don't think that it's serious. But he is, there is a very doubtful chance that he will be in the Money in the Bank pay-per-view come Sunday. This isn't a big blow. This has to be, you know, I'd imagine, like I said, as far as the reports that I've been getting, and as far as all that, it's kayfabe. But, I mean, like I said, it's not a big blow that he's potentially out of Money in the Bank because he wasn't going to win anyways. But I hope that something further goes from this. I hope that he is able to, you know, potentially still. I mean, it depends on where the Undertaker falls. If he wants to come back for SummerSlam, they're initially going to do a Brothers of Destruction versus the Shield, but the Shield stock is starting to diminish a little bit. The focus is more on the Wyatt family. So Brothers of Destruction versus the Wyatt family, which I'll be fine with. You got four, you know, big man in there, and Brody Lee's his work. He's got decent in-ring work as far as as long as I follow him. It's been a few years now. He's got some decent in-ring work. He's got some agility on him, And, you know, he's done, you know, the Ring of Honor, Chikara, and all of those notable promotions outside of WWE or TNA. So he knows what he's doing, and but at the same time, I'm not too sold on the longevity of he and Rowan. So we'll see where that goes. A decent debut, but payoff not so good. So we'll go there. And then about to bring Derek on the line here. As a matter of fact, before I go into the let's go into the Divas right quick, and then we'll go to CM Punk and Randy Orton, and we'll bring Derek on. Divas match, let me be real quick with Divas match. Divas match was horrible. Ton of miscues, trying to whip each other to the ring, Irish whip each other, couldn't even do that. Wasn't a finish to it. Caitlin Spears, AJ on the outside, and so somehow that results into a no contest. Just absolutely horrible. I'm not a big fan of the direction of the Divas division, which, interestingly enough, as many people bash the Divas, people are just totally defending the Divas division now because we see one storyline. So I'm not, you know, relax, you know, just relax. It's one storyline with Caitlin, who still could give you a good match here and there. So, you know, I will say that Caitlin's came a very, very long way from starting wrestling altogether on NXT. Definitely a long way, but, you can't expect a division to thrive if there's just one storyline in the division and everybody else is just secondary. I mean, the Bellas, they come on commentary, they have backstage roles, but that's just to push the Total Divas. So they need more matches. They need more contenders. They need number one contenders matches. They need to be stable on their character development. Alicia Fox just automatically turned heel out of nowhere. The past few weeks, a couple months, I think, even, she's even been wrestling as a heel. Where did that come from? I mean, she just turned. So, it's just really weird, just on and off and things like that. Before Natalya went with Kali, she was just kind of flipping too, just wrestling. I mean, okay, today we need you as a face, today we need you as a heel. No, I mean, we need more character development. If you really want this division to thrive, you really need to develop their character, and you really need to have more matches to bring more depth, as well as bring more divas to the main roster. People tout about Paige in NXT, and I've seen her work too. I'm a fan as well. Summer Rae, you know, she was in NXT, but she's with Fandango. Let her wrestle more. That'll help Fandango out because he's a relative nobody. I mean, he's basically just not really panned out to defeating Chris Jericho at WrestleMania. So Summer Rae would help Fandango. You know, they're bringing the Funkadactyls are wrestling a little bit more, but not as much as they should. And Naomi is a fantastic wrestler. She's been wrestling, you know, for quite some time. Actually, won you know, the FCW championship, the women's championship. So, yeah, you know, I think that I need to spend more time with that. Lastly, we got CM Punk versus Randy Orton, rematch from WrestleMania 27. Fantastic match. Very, very good. I have nothing bad to say about that match. I knew that they were going to deliver, and they definitely did. Then Bryan appears post-match, and he attacks Punk, puts him in the, you know, rams on a ring post, and then he runs over Orton with the ladder. Then he climbs up the ladder to reach a briefcase. I wonder if that is a bad sign for Money in the Bank, because he has the advantage. He has the last laugh going into the pay-per-view. I wonder if they're going to use that to give him all this momentum and then have him lose. But he's still scheduled to go. He's still penciled in to compete against John Cena at SummerSlam. So we'll see how that works. Derek, Raw correspondent, is on the line live. Once again, great job last week. Very proud of your work, sir. And journalism extraordinaire, Raw correspondent, let us know what you have this week.
Hey, let's give it up for Chris Featherstone, Pancakes and Power Slams, Raw correspondent Derek coming in. Hey, Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus last night. That was an awesome, awesome match. Keep it up, WWE. They're really developing their talent as of now. It's been a long time, but that's a one match that's going to be continuing to hopefully start coming in Monday Night Raw for many, many weeks. They shake hands afterwards. I mean, they've got mutual respect for each other. Daniel Bryan has come so far in the last few months. Sheamus has always been a mainstay for the last couple years, but they're showing their true colors, and I'm all for it. I thought that was an awesome match, an awesome opener to Monday Night Raw. I kind of agree with Chris. The Shield is kind of being watered down a bit. You've got some new things coming in with the Wyatts. But last night on Raw, Rollins and Reigns versus Tons of Funk. And I agree with the chat room. That was, and Chris himself, that was the best thing to happen to Tensai. Everyone remembers him, A-Train back in the 90s. This is a guy that's got a second life. Nobody really knows why, but he's back. He's still doing it. And that was probably his shining moment last night. I hope there's many more to come. I like this team. The tag team division with the WWE and on Monday Night Raw has been tainted for a while. However, it is coming back. I believe it's coming back, and WWE has a big thing as far as breaking them down, tearing them up prematurely. So this is something that needs to continue. I'm really hoping that Tensai and the Bronchiosaurus, whatever they call him, we'll keep on going. Tons of Funk, I'm a big fan of them now. So let's keep that going. After that, continuous coverage on the Wyatts. They're some inbred hillbillies, from what I understand. You had a camera crew following them last night. They came out. It was interesting how they came out. It's kind of like almost a Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Rob Zombie type of thing. I'm into it, but it was kind of a flop towards the end. It was a big build-up, but like Chris was saying earlier, it really didn't have much to contribute as far as the ending goes. Kind of stealing the Shield's heat from what they did not so long ago that we were talking about them here on Pancakes and Power Slams. And after that, I want to continue to say Cena's address towards Mark Henry. I want to give both of them props tonight. Both of them really did a great show. This is the Mark Henry I have always wanted to see. Mark Henry is an awesome heel. Henry can, he's convincing. You're afraid of Mark Henry. John Cena did a great job as far as talking with Mark Henry, saying, you know, Mark Henry is hungry. Why don't you just get a Snickers bar? That made me laugh. That was a great segment on Raw. But again, I want to give props to Mark Henry. This is the way he should have been the whole time. He's been there 17 years on Monday Night Raw. Mark Henry's been sexual chocolate, world's strongest man. Any name you want to give him, this is the Mark Henry that you want to remember him by. He wants to be a dominant character. Will it work? Money in the Bank pay-per-view this Sunday. I'm going to watch it. Everybody should watch it. Will Mark Henry be the champion that he always wanted to be? I hope it happens. I'm not a big Cena fan, but I'd love to see Mark Henry just kind of take over for a while. Y2J versus Curtis Axel. Curtis Axel's first loss since Heyman started mentoring him. Chris mentioned that earlier. This is a big step with Curtis Axel. He's not perfect like his father was. And I want to say that in total confidence. Mr. Perfect was probably one of the most perfect specimens in wrestling history. Kurt Hennig was the man. His son, however, kind of, he's got it, but he's also got Paul Heyman. I understand Paul Heyman's role in WWE nowadays. I remember Paul Heyman when he was Paul E. Dangerously back in the late 80s, early 90s, WCW. And it's genius. Paul Heyman is a wrestling genius. I don't agree with everything he does or everything he said or everything that he's a part of, but he knows what's good for WWE. He knows what's going on. Sin Cara versus Alberto Del Rio. Ziggler comes out while the match is still in progress. This is kind of an interesting thing to see. Dolph Ziggler just kind of making his way out there towards the ring. However, it does kind of break up the match. Del Rio charges for Ziggler. It was kind of a filler. Not much going on with Del Rio nowadays. He is the champion. However, he could be doing a few better things. Vicky's job evaluation, Triple H, Stephanie, and Vince. Vince wants to make her a permanent GM. I disagree with that. WWE Universe votes. Vicky is fired. And now Brad Maddox is GM. I can see that happening. I can see it working for a while. I don't know if it's going to be a permanent thing. We'll see in weeks to come. Always find out your latest wrestling news here on Pancakes and Power Slams. Tune in. Chris Featherstone, Derek, Raw correspondent, Crave Wrestling, Blog Talk Radio, Christian versus Kane. It was a great match, two veterans against each other. Wyatt's interrupt, I talked about that earlier. Kind of an odd thing for the Wyatts to end on such a weird note when there was such a huge build-up. And Kane's a perfect character for them to kind of delve with. So that's good for Kane, and that's good for the Wyatts. We'll see where it goes. Of course, Kane is going to get his vengeance, hopefully. He was totally dominated last night. That's good for the Wyatts. However, it was just kind of a weird thing to happen. Divas Division was horrible. I don't want to talk too much about it. Randy Orton and CM Punk. CM Punk wins. Bryan runs out, attacks Punk, brings in the ladder, knocks out Orton. Money in the Bank is going to be a really great pay-per-view. Maybe it's going to be a turning stone to come for the WWE. I'm really looking forward to the show. We're going to talk about it next week on Pancakes and Power Slams. I wish I had more time, but I want to get back to Chris Featherstone. This is Pancakes and Power Slams. Please continue your support. Crave Wrestling, Block Talk Radio, WrestlingInc.com. Follow Chris Featherstone on Bleacher Report. I am Derek, the Raw correspondent. Back to you, Chris. Thank you.
Fantastic. Before we get to SmackDown, recap right quick. SummerSlam 97 is the correct answer. And the next question is, name two other past gimmicks of Rikishi. Name two other past gimmicks of Rikishi in the WWE. Huge announcement. Huge announcement. I am pleased to announce that next week, now put this on your calendar and get your questions ready. Next week, I am pleased to announce that Ring of Honor wrestling star Caprice Coleman will be on the show. So I am very, very pleased, very, very excited to interview him. He's actually one of my favorite wrestlers in ROH. Just a fantastic rising star in ROH. I mean, just his aerial moves are crazy. I went to a live ROH show, as Derek mentioned, got to see. I mean, I've followed ROH. I mean, they came the same year. They commenced the same year as TNA did, 2002, and I've been following them for a long time. But this is my first ROH show that I went to. This year, recently, and it was fantastic. It was one of the best shows that I've ever went to. And I've been to tons and tons and tons and tons of shows. I don't think I've missed a live Raw or SmackDown in years upon years. So I've been to a lot of shows, and ROH Live is just one of the best experiences that I've ever had as a wrestling fan. And Caprice Coleman actually had a match with Adam Cole, and it was really, really good. Fantastic match. And he's part of the CNC Wrestling, CNC Wrestle Factory, one of the hottest rising tag teams, not only in ROH, but in the wrestling scene, the entire wrestling scene, one of the best rising tag teams. Look out for them. Look out for them. I have a okay. And we're back. I had a little bit of technical difficulties there. I have no idea what happened, but like I was saying, Caprice Coleman, Cedric Alexander, CNC Wrestle Factory. So half of the CNC Wrestle Factory from ROH will be on the show next week. Be sure to get your questions ready. We're going to have some fun with Caprice Coleman next week. So just another name in the Pancakes and Power Slams interview series. We've got many more to come, working on some other names. But so far, we had Onyx, and of course we had Eliza Burke for our one-year anniversary, and pleased to add Caprice Coleman in the Pancakes and Power Slams interview series. So thank you so much for continuing to support Pancakes and Power Slams, and let's have some fun. Fatu is the correct answer for one. I said name two other past gimmicks. I just see Fatu so far, so I need one more. Real quick, SmackDown, CM Punk in-ring promo. Alberto Del Rio interrupts. Tay Long eventually comes out and schedules main event with the two. Good Punk-Del Rio interaction. It kind of takes us off the fact that Brock Lesnar did come out and F5 CM Punk, but a little mini feud with Alberto Del Rio is working out pretty well. Usos defeats Team Road Scholars. I've liked the Usos for years. I mean, they've been my favorite team for years. I'm glad that they finally get a push. And for those who don't know, Jimmy Uso is engaged to Naomi now. So interesting little tidbit there. We maybe see that on E! True Divas coming up in a couple of weeks. Very, very good double splash finish that they had. Then the Shield appears on Titantron and cuts a promo. Alicia Fox defeats Caitlyn. Very happy that Alicia Fox won a match. Just this whole Caitlyn AJ thing, I mean, it's bringing some life to the Divas division, but Caitlyn just doesn't cut it for me. Next we have Randy Orton defeating Christian. Very, very good match there. Fantastic match. Very happy with that match quality. Dolph Ziggler defeating Drew McIntyre. They're trying to make him a face. So I mean, just so far, I'm not buying it. He just doesn't seem comfortable as a face. It just kind of seems as if he's just kind of running the mill a little bit. His hashtag heel Ziggler. I mean, he just seems more comfortable as a heel. Hopefully he's just the same Dolph Ziggler. Like, he's just kind of forcing himself to just be a good guy. Why don't he just kind of still keep the cockiness? And a lot of fans like the cocky, heelish wrestlers. That's the reason why Punk is so over as a face or a heel. So he was getting cheered more as a heel. Now he's not getting much of anything as a face. If anything, he's getting more boos because he cut a promo on SmackDown. He got more boos than he got pops. So I don't think that the fans alone, the fans in their entirety, are buying the whole Dolph Ziggler face move. I'm not either, honestly. Fandango defeats Justin Gabriel. One of these days, maybe wishful thinking, but one of these days, Justin Gabriel will be a something. Give him a mid-card title. Do something. He's a fantastic talent, and he's so misused. Punk and Del Rio leads to a double countout. Del Rio hits Heyman while Heyman was on commentary, and Punk gets livid and snaps on Del Rio. Very nice little twist to the end there. Punk doesn't want to be really affiliated with Heyman that much, but still is defending him. So I like that. On to Impact Wrestling, and then we'll get to ROH real quick, and then we'll get to the Flavor of the Week, and then the prediction. So hang tight. 347-884-8452. We'll take calls if time permitting, but just continue to be patient. We'll squeeze some calls in. But next week, like I said, Caprice Coleman, you know, we're going to have a lot of fun. So just flood the lines there. Continue to flood the chat room. You know, like I said, I always give props to the chat room. I'm very happy to say, you know, things that's going on in chat room, comments that are made. So chat room always has a fun time every week. Tweet at Crave Wrestling as well if you have anything to say before the show's over. If applicable, I will say it on live on air. So let's continue to have some fun with Pancakes and Power Slams. Impact Wrestling, Las Vegas, Nevada. Austin Aries in-ring promo. It calls out Hulk Hogan to cash in the X Division title. The show prior, he came out in a suicide mask, won the X Division title, was forced to unmask because the real person, TJ Perkins, was attacked. So, interesting little twist there to the X Division, scene, which was cool. Hogan schedules X Division main event, which is Austin Aries versus Chris Sabin versus the new former Suicide. Name's no longer Suicide, but his name is Manic now. Now, you know, I have a PR undergrad, so from a PR standpoint, it makes sense. I don't think having a character named Suicide for an internationally known, internationally marketed, private-owned company by a very big conglomerate, Panda Energy, you know, I don't think that they would like to promote a character named Suicide. So, makes sense. As far as the name Manic, I don't know. That just has to grow on me. I always wonder why he had the M-type logo on his gear anyways, on his suit. But Manic, I don't know. Just Manic has to grow on me. AJ Styles defeats Kazarian. For some reason, he's had this character for a little bit now. I really liked AJ Styles' work on Impact Wrestling last week, and I write a review about it on wrestling.com every week, so I've watched Impact Wrestling ever since the beginning, and I've followed AJ Styles in this new gimmick. In the beginning, it was just but the music works for it really well. The P1 symbol that he has that matches with the gloves, he's done that for a while, but just the no one type of thing that he's doing, it's starting to grow on me. I'm liking what I see. He plays a tweener role, but I think it works better if he does a tweener role going against more heels, because he was a tweener going against more faces before. I don't think it worked too well. But the tweener in more of a face role, I think it works for me. He makes Kazarian submit in the calf killer, which is another pretty interesting new submission move that he's implemented in his arsenal. Making James promo on ladder, which is pretty good. And then you have the debacle of the previous show, Adam O'Reiner, the Big O, versus Ryan Howe. Check out the Impact Wrestling review that I had 2 weeks ago. I just laid it out as far as how I feel about that. Just you, if you're going to have a gut check challenge, you know, TNA, you're trying to be the number two, the solid number two promotion in the wrestling business right now. And you can't just have two green, stiff wrestlers, just unpolished wrestlers, just come out and just make fools of themselves. And that's exactly what O'Reiner did. He has a look, he has the build, but just no way. I mean, that's what OVW is for. And OVW wouldn't accept something like that. Ryan Howell is a little bit more versatile in his moves, but just has a very bland, heavy metal Van Hammer style character that just wasn't, you know, just won't cut it in TNA. I like Howell better than O'Reiner. O'Reiner has a better build, has a better look for wrestling, but both of them, you know. I think the last episode of Impact Wrestling basically said it all. Neither of them got a contract and made sense. Hernandez defeats Jay Bradley, and that's another thing. There's a slew of releases in the past couple weeks. Crimson was released. Taylor Hendricks actually got axed to release. Joey Ryan was released. A few weeks ago, Duck Williams got released. I saw an interview with him. He just wasn't being utilized right, and so he about a month ago, a little over a month ago, he got released. And then recently, I know I'm missing some names, but recently there was a Matt Morgan. Just recently, just, you know, within the past day or two, Matt Morgan asked for his release, too, because just getting fed up with the product, just being underutilized. Had a one-year extension last June, and seemed like they were intending to push him, but didn't do much of anything with him. And it's unfortunate, because Matt Morgan has potential. I don't know if the WWE would give him another shot, but I would see why, you know, he would be unhappy. He can make more money in the indies, you know, being a reputable name in the indies, and, you know, be more happier than his tenure at TNA. So I definitely understand why he would want to ask for his release. James Storm and Gunner defeats Robbie and Jesse Goddard's. Continue to bring depth to the tag team division, which I'm totally in favor of. Main Event Mafia promo in ring introduces new member, which is Magnus. Doesn't fall in the whole former champions thing, which is, it's kind of faltering away from that. But I do understand why they would choose Magnus. That was my next guess, other than Samoa Joe. I guess Samoa Joe, and then Magnus was my next guess, and I'm fine with it. Magnus is the future of TNA. Push this guy to the moon. He's over. The fans like him. Make him the top babyface of TNA and run with it. Just use Magnus the way that he should be utilized. I think that TNA has some promise if they use the right people rightly. Magnus is one of those people. Jeff Hardy defeats Joseph Park by DQ. Don't understand why they put Joseph Park in the Bound for Glory series. He doesn't have any shot of winning whatsoever. He defeated Crimson. I think Crimson would have had a better chance. I think they should have kept Crimson, had Crimson beat Joseph Park and been the Bound for Glory series. I don't understand the logic in that whatsoever. Chris Sabin defeats Austin Aries and Manic to become new X Division champion. Next week is Destination X, so I'll be interested to see if he's going to cash in the X Division title for an opportunity to face Bully Ray for the title. All right, so real quick, ROH, some good action. Speaking of Caprice Coleman, Cedric Alexander, CNC Wrestle Factory defeated the Beaver Boys, which was Alex Reynolds and John Silver. Went to a very, very good match. And then we got Vita Scott, which is the she announces, she's a broadcaster for ROH, but also does some in-ring work. She lost to Mischief there. And then we also had the main event, which was, the last match of the main event, Adam Page defeating Silas Young. And then the main event was for the TV title, the Ring of Honor television title, the only active television title since officially the TNA is the TNA television title is now defunct. The second title in a few weeks, the Knockouts tag team titles, is also no longer. So I actually liked the TV title. I thought it was a good idea to push a mid-card wrestler, mid-card star. It just goes to show that they TNA unfortunately didn't have enough confidence in their mid-card or just their booking or creative staff. I don't know. They definitely could have used that TV title to push a mid-card wrestler. They don't have a mid-card title. They have the X Division title, which has restrictions, as Hulk Hogan has replaced on the division. There's a weight limit. There's things of that nature. So no mid-card title. So now you're just going to have a bunch of mid-carders just roaming around and doing much of nothing. So not a big fan of the TV title leaving, but let's see how that goes. No correct answers on the other than Fatu. Neither on Twitter or the chat room. The other gimmick he was in the WWE was the Sultan. Remember the Sultan? Very odd gimmick. Very, very odd gimmick. All right, and then we have the Flavor of the Week. Let's get to the Flavor of the Week. Now we're going to talk about best and worst Money in the Bank winners. Now, the Money Bank started in 2005. Of course, you all know. After the Flavor of the Week, we'll bring Derek back in. We'll get to the Money in the Bank predictions. Started in 2005 and implemented by Chris Jericho. Not a lot of you know the backstory behind Money in the Bank. Since 2005, there's been 11 winners, 12 total Money in the Banks. And some really every person but one has cashed it into, well, two winners have not cashed it in to become world champion. But other than that, everybody else cashed it in to become world champion. So it's almost a guaranteed spot to become a world champion. So you have to really calculate wisely who you want to be in the match, because of course you're going to have some throwaways there, but at least you can have at least a few people that you can see be a world champion within 6 months or so. So let's get to the worst. Let's get to the best. Let's do the best first. Let's save the best for first in this instance. The best Money in the Bank winner, in my opinion, and I think I wrote an article about this last year, but it's kind of like a tie. It's kind of like a tie. I'll give CM Punk an honorable mention. I think I had him as number one before, and I kind of still feel that way. You know, just because, you know, he won twice and, you know, he became such a megastar that really catapulted him. So it's kind of a tie of number one. I have an honorable mention for last, but I think I'll do a tie for number one. CM Punk, of course, you know, won in 08 and 09, cast them both in, cast his first one in an episode of Raw against Edge when Batista beat up Edge and Punk cast it in 08 to become World Heavyweight Champion. Lost it at, interesting how he lost it. He got beat up by the Legacy. Vengeance or Unforgiven, I believe it was September of 2008. It was the championship scramble, which Chris Jericho won it. So September 2008, he got beat up. So it was just a weird way. I guess he wasn't drawing enough, and they just decided to drop the title off of him. It was just a weird way for him to lose it. Didn't have enough confidence in him 5 years ago, but it's interesting enough now he gets whatever he wants, so just about. Second time, he kind of, you know, teased and eventually solidified his heel turn, which led to the Straight Edge Society. Casting on Jeff Hardy, Extreme Rules, I believe it was. 2009, I believe. Extreme Rules 2009, I believe it was. If I'm not mistaken, anybody who wants to tweet or chat room, feel free to let me know if I'm right or wrong. And I just verified that it is correct. He did cash it in at Jeff Hardy's Extreme Rules 2009. And then, of course, you have Edge, who beat John Cena, who won it in the very first one, 2005, and he beat John Cena in 2006. He's the longest person to hold the case, which was a little over 9 months. And John Cena wins the Elimination Chamber match at New Year's Revolution in 2006, January of 2006. Edge cashes it in, becomes WWE champion for the first time. Then he wins it. Ken Anderson wins it in 2006, and he was injured. He became injured, and you know, that led to Edge beating him on an episode of Raw for the case. That's the first time the case was switched in a match, and RVD actually defended his case before successfully, but and so did Dolph Ziggler, actually. But that was the first time that it was traded, the case was traded. And then Edge, you know, of course, he cashed it in and cashed it in The Undertaker, actually, and if I'm not mistaken, I believe it was The Undertaker. I believe Edge cast it in on The Undertaker. And this was 2006, if I'm not mistaken. I believe he cast it in on The Undertaker, who was champ at the time, and became became the world heavyweight champion. So very interesting two there. Edge is now a Hall of Famer, and he that's another that's another conversation, but definitely think that Edge has solidified himself as being one of the most decorated wrestlers, period, in WWE history. One of the most decorated. He's had a plethora of titles, and I definitely think that we'll get to that. We'll get to that another day. Is Edge worthy enough to be Hall of Famer? That's another conversation, but I will say that he definitely is worthy of being the best Money in the Bank winner of the history of the series. Now the worst, the honorable mention first. Honorable mention goes to John Cena, one of the biggest names in the WWE history, in recent WWE history, but the only person to win the case but lose his match. He won the case last year in the former champions version of the Money to Make match. It was eventually going to be a four-way, which I thought was just horrible. And then The Miz returned last Money to the Bank pay-per-view and became a part of the match, which I was happy that it was at least five, and brought more depth to the match. Won the match, chose to cash it in against CM Punk at the Raw 1000 episode, and he lost. So he was the only person to win it and lose. So he definitely has to be the worst Money in the Bank winner, just because of that. Just because of that alone. So. And then the worst, in my opinion, I just got confirmed that it was on SmackDown, it was against The Undertaker on to become the World Heavyweight Champion. So, episode of SmackDown in May of 07. So, all right, and then, like I said, Ken Anderson, just a horrible choice. I don't even know why. I mean, they really built him up a lot, and I just don't understand why. I mean, he had some potential, but just, knowing how they made the Money in the Bank winners champions, I mean, in hindsight, I mean, yeah, just I don't think that would have been a good idea, knowing how his career has been altogether. I mean, I was a big fan of Ken Anderson at one point in time. Not to knock the guy as a person, I would love to have him on the show, just to pick his brain and talk to him for a second. But just, his career as a whole has not been impressive. I mean, I suppose that's the booking staff. When he came back as a face, I actually liked it a lot in WWE, but there's been some rumblings about why he left when he left, because he was released from the WWE. That's not worth mentioning in detail, but when he came back, he feuded with William Regal and was a face in the WWE. He had a ton of potential then, but as a heel, he was over. He beat, a bunch of people. He beat The Undertaker and Booker T, Rey Mysterio, Shawn Michaels. So he beat a number of former champions. They really wanted to push this guy to the moon, but just like they do to a lot of other people, they just kind of pull the plug. and they just spiral down. So don't think that would have been the best idea. So Ken Anderson didn't even have a chance to cash it in, so I would definitely label him the worst. All right, let's get to the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, Derek, the Raw correspondent slash Flavor of the Week analyst is on the line, but I rode solo this week on Flavor of the Week, which is great. Just like Derek rode solo when he talked about Dean Ambrose. So a lot of times we'll do it in concert, but you know, sometimes I'll have my own, and sometimes Derek will have his own. That's the joy of Flavor of the Week. Just an opportunity to really talk some good old wrestling. And be sure to call in. Keep the number ready for next week's show. Caprice Coleman, 347-884-8452. If time runs out, Chris Featherstone on Bleacher Report. Follow Crave Wrestling on Twitter at Crave Wrestling, and of course, like Crave Wrestling on the Facebook fan page. The numbers from there are growing as well. And of course, any person who wants to just have your name out there, like I said, we reach just thousands and thousands of people on a weekly basis through the media outlets that I'm very, very humbled to be a part of. So CraveWrestling@gmail.com. I know, and I look at the numbers every week. There's a ton of people who listen to the show. So I know that a number of you are interested in exposing your product. I know that you have your own business or know someone who has their own business that wants more exposure. Here's your avenue for advertisement. So subscribe on iTunes, Pancakes and Power Slams. And before we go off the air, let's get to the predictions. We got AJ Lee versus Caitlin for the Divas Championship. Who you got, Derek?
I've got AJ Lee. She's going to win, probably. Again, the Divas division has been absolutely horrible. So, what does it go with AJ, and let's call it a safe bet. What do you think?
I agree. Safe bet, AJ Lee. AJ Lee has brought some type of life to a very dwindling Divas division, so AJ Lee does not need to have the belt off of her. Let's go to Curtis Axel versus The Miz for the Intercontinental Championship.
Curtis Axel will win, I believe. He's got Paul Heyman with him. That always helps. I kind of like to see The Miz win, but I really don't see that happening yet. So, Curtis Axel is going to keep his momentum going, even though he just recently lost some money at Raw. But Curtis Axel is the winner.
I agree. Curtis Axel, they don't want him to lose twice. I would hope not. Twice on one week, they're really trying to give him a push. I don't buy Axel. I big fan of Hennig. Had a wonderful career. A legend in the business, Hall of Famer, but Axel, I'm not buying. His charisma is very minimal to me, and I have no idea why they continue to put him on the mic. Heyman's one of the best voices, one of the best voice pieces in wrestling, period, and you still put Axel on the mic, who has very little charisma. I don't understand the logic in that as well. Just keep him off the mic if you want him to be a star, because his mic work isn't good. Or have him cut a promo in a mirror or something, but I'm not impressed. I'm not buying Axel. I tried, and so far, not a big fan. But because somehow the WWE still sees something in him and probably will for a while. I mean, he's a great athlete. Don't let me take that away from him. He's great, and his in-ring work is very good. But just his charisma is not that good. But I think that they still see something in Axel. They still want to work on this project, and he'll remain champion. Alberto Del Rio versus Dolph Ziggler.
Alberto Del Rio is a newly crowned champion from last pay-per-view, so I can see him still continuing to carry the championship, but Dolph Ziggler still has a lot of fire behind him. So this might be a stepping stone for Ziggler if he loses. Not a stepping stone so much as far as his charisma and talent, but he's got a lot to offer. But I think Alberto Del Rio will win.
I don't think they have enough confidence in Dolph Ziggler. I think that they want to just kind of watch out for this the concussion that he had. I don't think they have enough faith in him to have him as champion, which is the reason why they had him drop in the first place. I'm going to go with Alberto Rio for that reason. Chris Jericho versus Ryback. Oh, well, real quick, it would be interesting if Dolph Ziggler did win and one of the Money in the Bank winners pulled a Kane back in 2010 and cast him on the same night. That would be interesting, but wistful thinking. Del Rio will keep it. Chris Jericho versus Ryback.
Ryback will win. Chris Jericho, he should win. That's the obvious choice. However, with Ryback and his sympathy towards Vicky, I think she might have something to do with the reason Y2J might lose. Y2J's lost a lot recently, like matches that he should have won, or I think he deserves to win. I think Ryback will win this match. Again, not cleanly. Something will happen. But I think Ryback will win. What about you?
I definitely agree. I think, unfortunately, Ryback will win. With Jericho, he's a consummate professional, but Ryback is just not a project to work on right now to put over. But I think that he will be aligned with Vicky Guerrero as soon as this week, as soon as this Sunday, and somehow WWE think that that would work. He'll get heat because Guerrero does, but I'm not buying Ryback, even with Guerrero. Real quick, Cena versus Henry.
Hit. I want Henry to win. Cena, I don't want him to win. I think Cena will probably win. I'll say Cena wins, but my heart wants Henry to dominate.
I agree. I think Henry will dominate the match, and I think that John Cena will pull it out in the last minute. I don't think that they want Henry going in as champion on to SummerSlam. So, yes, Cena. Pre-show, The Shield versus The Usos, Tag Team Championship.
The Shield. The Shield will continues to dominate. They've been kind of overshadowed lately, but I see The Shield pulling this one out.
I agree. The Shield wins it. WWE World Heavyweight Championship, Money in the Bank. Wade Barrett, Cody Rhodes, Damian Sandow, Dean Ambrose, Fandango, Jack Swagger, Cesaro. Who you got?
Fandango will not win. Daniel Bryan, strike while the iron's hot. He is the
well, that's the WWE. I'm talking about the World Heavyweight Championship. Barrett, Rhodes, Sandow, Ambrose, Fandango, Swagger, Cesaro. Who you got?
I've got Swagger winning that.
Oh, no. I think Cesaro's going to win it. They swing and a miss with Swagger. All right, got about 15 seconds. CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, Randy Orton, Sheamus, Christian, and RVD. And now the vacant spot, maybe someone will be there, maybe someone won't. WWE Championship, Money in the Bank, who you got?
I've got RVD winning it. Honestly do.
No way. RVD is going to be just a just going to sit there and just be there for namesake. I've got Daniel Bryan winning it. I'm a little iffy on Randy Orton possibly winning it, but I got Daniel Bryan still leading into SummerSlam with John Cena. Fantastic. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Enjoy Money in the Bank. It's going to be a great pay-per-view. Until next week, follow me on Bleacher Report, Chris Featherstone, WrestlingInc.com, Chris Featherstone. Follow Crave Wrestling at Twitter. Cedric Alexander's partner, Caprice Coleman, on the show next week. ROH star, Caprice Coleman. Get your number ready, 347-884-8452. Until next week, God bless. Goodbye.